Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday the 13th, February 13th, 2015. But it is not bad fortune, not bad luck that we talk about today. No, we have good fortune today. On today's podcast, we continue our discussion of the crisis in Ukraine that we started last Wednesday and its potential for a nuclear armed superpower conflict. The leaders of Russia, Germany, France, and Ukraine met Wednesday, February 11th at Minsk for 17 hours, and they agreed to a ceasefire beginning at midnight, February 15th. The agreement to cease hostilities, at least partially, was reached after several negotiating sessions culminating in the Minsk agreement. Mr. Putin made the announcement to the world, quote, "I believe we agreed on a big deal. We agreed to a ceasefire starting at midnight, February 15th, end quote. Well, that is this coming Sunday, folks. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko told the media that a general ceasefire was declared, quote, without any conditions at all, end quote. But Russia got what Mr. Putin wanted, which reflects Ukraine's weak bargaining position and Germany's desperation to concentrate on saving the euro concerning the Greek crisis. The big area of contention was what line would the parties use as a disengagement line, a compromise in which the Ukrainian troops and heavy weapons would pull back from the current front line and the rebels would pull back from the front line that existed in September when the previous ceasefire, the one that did not hold, was reached. That will be a zone of security or demilitarization, 50 kilometers wide for artillery over 100 millimeters and 70 kilometers wide for multiple rocket launchers and 100 kilometers for heavier long-range weapons. The parties have 14 days to complete the pullback. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, will be responsible for implementing the agreement. OSCE has a fleet of drones and ground monitors to make sure both sides live up to the deal. The parties also agreed to withdrawal of all foreign troops, heavy weapons, and mercenaries from Ukraine with OSCE monitoring. What if the foreign troops do not want to leave? Well, we'll see what happens, folks. Exchange of all prisoners is to be completed within 19 days. And the rebels receive amnesty for all actions to date. The Kiev government would be restored to control over the border between Donetsk and Lugansk regions. Municipal elections are to be held there in the region. Quote, special privileges would be declared for the eastern provinces. Special privileges is what they called it. By the end of 2015, I suppose, that is diplomats speak for, they will be independent, but aligned with Russia, as we mentioned in the last podcast, as a possible solution. The border area is to have, quote, self-determination. Russia wanted the eastern provinces to be autonomous, and that is what Russia got. The president of Russia, the chancellor of Germany, and the president of France have personally guaranteed this deal to work. I hope the United States goes along with it. There are ominous signs that Congress was about to sign off on giving $1 billion in weapons to the Kiev government. To me, that would be a big mistake, folks. That would be the wrong move, as it is often true that outside parties with their own agendas keep these conflicts going by ensuring that neither side runs out of money or supplies, just as they did with Germany and Europe prior to the United States' entrance into World War I. The International Monetary Fund has agreed to offer $17.5 billion to Ukraine as the first part of a $40 billion bailout package. Additional funding is to be provided from other unnamed sources. If Germany and France are the source of the IMF funds, they will find it far cheaper than having the war spill over into Western Europe. I can assure you of that, folks. These are difficult times for Germany. Two crises at the same time in Ukraine and Greece, both very, very frightening and desperate. Mrs. Merkel has certainly had her hands full. She had to have a diplomatic end in Ukraine. That had to happen. A war on Germany's doorstep while Europe and the Eurozone is on the verge of breakup would be very, very difficult. At the same time, Russia's economy is staggering. Ukraine's collapsing. So each party had to make a deal that should hold if foreign powers will stay out of it and mind their own business. Can that happen? Time will tell, folks. Meanwhile, the Secretary of the Russian Security Council, Nikolai Petrushev, speaking, I'm sure, for Mr. Putin, said, quote, the situation in Ukraine is being used as a pretext for the active repression of our country. The Americans are trying to involve the Russian Federation in an intensive military conflict, cause regime change in Russia, and ultimately dismember our country via events in Ukraine, end quote. Is that really true, folks? Let's hope it isn't. The Western press compares Putin to Hitler, and the Russian press compares Obama to Napoleon and Hitler, who invaded Russia. Well, just words, folks, just rhetoric. But finally, the United States' intentions is the unanswered question in this deal. What will the United States do? Who's hoping the United States minds its own business unless this agreement succeeds? At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.